I was working in Brazil since 1971, but it wasn't for another 16 years before I got involved in something related to this matter of internet. And in 1987, I managed to provoke an open national discussion about the need for something like the NSFNet, which had just started operating in the United States. And so that was where I started, I suppose. The other things I think that are worthy of contribution are building the first statewide network within the state I live in, Rio de Janeiro. That was in 1989, 91. Building the first long-distance TCP/IP network, which was adopted for the National Network Project, which was underway by then, and implemented in 1992. At RNP, which is the name of the organization, which it was the firstly the name of the project which built the first internet, it's now the name of the organization which runs it today. And since 2002, I've been working there. I was originally seconded from my university, and I helped to extend the performance envelope of our networks during the next few years. I've been there for, 17 years now. And the technology has changed, and we've all been helping in our different ways to adopt the newer technologies to meet the needs of the community we serve, which is the research and education community in Brazil. I've also worked with collaborative projects with university research groups. Since I'm from basically a university background, that's been very easy. I'm well accepted by my former peers within this region. And we've been developing for many years advanced services for our users on this network. I've also been involved in network development, particularly optical networks, long-distance optical networks, the participation in the Red Clara network. Red Clara was created to interconnect Latin American countries. I targeted 16 countries, and about 12 or 13 of these take part. One of these was, well, there's Jose Soriano from Peru was involved in some of the first networks there. But so this phase came later. He missed out on that. And I think the international collaborations are worth mentioning, because for the last 15 years or so, I've been much involved in collaboration with other networking organizations in other countries. There's the Clara network, there's the US networks, and there's the European networks, and we have had a lot of interaction concerning how best to provide the connections we need in order to make a global internet. It took some time after I discovered about the existence of the NSFNet in 1985-86, there was a time when suddenly things crystallized in my head. You could call it a eureka moment or an epiphany or something like that, when I decided that this is something that really I needed to be involved in. And from that time on, the internet has been an important part of my professional life, and more recently, of course, of everything else which we do. Since I'm from a university background, then it has been most important that I have had the support and encouragement of colleagues in this community. And this has happened both from the universities I've worked at. I've worked at three whilst I've been in Brazil, and also the scientific societies, which I've also had contact with. And these together have been important in many ways for defining things to do and for being able to accomplish them. The people in the university community work a lot in collaborations. And the internet is good because it not only allows you a space for collaborating in order to build it and extend it and make it more functional, but also it provides the services which are important for that. So these are sort of, they work together, and that is great. There are, because of this start-off, some particular people that have been important in this trajectory of mine. There are several present members of the Internet Hall of Fame who I've had contact with in view of, or as a result of this initial interest in the internet. The first of those was Glenn Reichardt. Glenn has been, he's one of the pioneers. He came to Brazil in actually 1985, the year of the NSFNet. And he came to try to encourage people in the state of Rio to perform a twinning operation with the state of Maryland. Apparently there is some kind of formal link between the two states. And he came to see me at the university where I was working, and it was news to me. So I didn't really react very well, but he also talked to our Scientific Computing Center in Rio de Janeiro, LNCC. The technology which enables networks is advancing strongly at the moment. You see this mostly in the development of optical networks and also of radio networks, this 5G progress which is going on at the moment. And so these are going to make it possible to make networking cheaper by providing more capacity or for enabling the use by more people or doing more complex things. So these are good things. The R&D networks, the research and education networks, have to accompany this. I mean, if the research and education network is not capable of offering services which are more advanced than the commercial networks, then the reason for having them tends to go away. And this is something which we believe has to be stressed, that there are users which cannot be served by the commercial networks to get at the moment at a decent price. Everything eventually comes down to price, and the idea of being able to have aggregated networks which can be used by high-performance users as well as the less aggressive people, if you like, can be built and operated economically if you have the right conditions. One of the activities we are involved in at RMP is to try to encourage, or to encourage actually, the development of new services and applications, and we in fact finance projects with university groups to be able to do this. And this is now, initially this was to provide services for our own network to offer to us, our users, but there are more general applications than just our networks. They will serve for other people's networks. And so one of the big things is to show that there are means of making money and a living out of developing these services. When the internet began, you had to have a wired connection to some place which was on the network. So everything had to have wires, copper wires, going to that, or a radio link, perhaps a fixed radio link, you know, something. These were the two alternatives. And it was not imaginable at that time that it would be so easy to make, I don't know if it's easy, but it has been done for a number of years now. I've been using a mobile telephone and its internet access for several years now. I don't know whether it's pie in the sky, but it would be nice to have some kind of standards of truthfulness and fairness in the use of the internet, and to increase its coverage around the world.